me now!
It's the George Plaster Show.
Americans heard the news and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600, and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in. It's a beautiful Wednesday at the moment. Let's just see how beautiful. Let's try 64 degrees, but rain moving in by about 4 o'clock this afternoon. 72 tomorrow, 72 on Friday. Wow. If one on the panel wants to get one's golf in, one might want to do it in the next 24 to 48 hours. Watson Brown, how are you?
You just call it, George. I got to get there tomorrow. Got to go. Sounds like great weather for the football state championships this weekend, doesn't it?
It does.
So it's good for them.
Yeah. So, any particular feelings about it leaving Cookeville? I know it's, you know, it comes down to money and all that kind of stuff. What do you think?
This time it was facility, I think. A lot of disappointed people in Cookeville. The pride that had come out of this community to do that, George. Everything volunteers.
Yeah.
They did not spend money hiring people to do this or do that. It was all volunteers here. And I think they're disappointed, but it'll go down in history. At least 10 years. I think it's more than that. I was early in my time at Tech when it came here. I know that. But a lot of memories were made here in Cookeville, Tennessee for a lot of high school kids.
Yeah. So how long is it in Chattanooga? Do you know?
Usually it runs on 3 years. Now, I don't know anymore. I think we had to renew it every 3 years, best I can remember, after 3 years. So going into the fourth year, and usually you would get it all done in that third year. So I'd say Chattanooga will get it that long. We've had it where? Nashville. We've had it in Murfreesboro. We've had it in Cookeville. We've had it in Chattanooga. I believe that's the four spots.
Yeah.
And it was always at Vanderbilt, was it not? I know when I was the head coach at Vanderbilt, we had it for a little bit. And been in Murfreesboro a long time.
Yeah, I wish it would be back here. It seems to me this is the obvious place. I think, you know, if you're trying to find middle ground from all areas, why would you not want it in Nashville?
Yeah, I agree geographically, but I'm not sure getting it in smaller towns isn't a neat thing.
Oh, it creates a pride. You're right about that.
Yeah. Where it's in a city, you don't get the same. There's so many things in a city, George. Just think about it. What's been here athletically in Cookeville to this extreme?
Yeah.
And I think that's the one good thing with going with smaller towns like Murfreesboro and Cookeville. Of course, Murfreesboro's grown now to point. I'm not sure we'd call it a small town like Cookeville anymore.
Here is one other thing I would like to see happen. I don't think anybody's going to pay any attention to it. To me, it makes no sense to go up against championship weekend in college football. Delay it a week, go up against the Army-Navy game, and be done with it.
Yeah, start a week earlier if they have to, because a lot of teams, they call
start
it
a week later.
Week. A week later or even a week. You got to get on one side or the other.
Right.
That's what I'm getting at. You could start a week earlier and be finished by now. Or you could start a week later. And, of course, basketball's already going, and there's still a lot of kids that play both sports, football and basketball.
Yeah.
But you're only talking about, what is it, not that many kids that go to that last weekend. Not that many high schools that go to that last weekend. Everybody's through playing, but what, there's six classifications in the public school, and there's what, two classifications, single A and private school, I think, maybe one, and then one class. I forget that, but
yeah,
you're not really talking about that many people. But I 100% agree. I can remember vividly every year, we had a tent for the high school coaches every year here to come in and eat and tinker around, talk to each other in one end of the stadium. And so many of the coaches are in there watching the playoff, the championship weekend.
Yeah.
In there and not watching the high school games.
Yeah.
And that's
me,
not a good thing either.
This is such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know, I realize weather a week later gets a little dicier. Screw it. I would take the chance and I would get out of college football championship week. It makes no sense to me.
I agree with you 100%. That's a good point.
Let's go over to Terry McCormick. Terrence, how are you?
I'm good. George, how are you?
Right. You're all hot to trot because you think you're getting Freddie Freeman.
Well, I just know that the Yankees have inquired about him, apparently, so that's a step in the right direction.
Well, sure. I mean...
Oh, Lord, Terry. I saw where the Dodgers, too, might be messing with him.
Yes.
That killed George. Either one of those two would absolutely kill George.
They can both shove it.
But especially the Yankees. Especially the Yankees, just because of me.
I think probably you're right.
No, Terry.
He knows he's got to go through the Dodgers to get to the Yankees.
It is not because of you. Okay, you're just a byproduct.
Okay,
so all of this. So do not wear that Yankee thing next year.
Other than just pure unadulterated jealousy, what does your hatred for the Yankees stem from?
They're a bunch of communists.
Oh,
they're a bunch of cheaters.
They're not communists. Not cheaters.
One's a born liar. The other's convicted.
The Yankees. The Yankees represent capitalism at its finest.
Yeah, I know that.
Which wonderful. Is far from communism.
Don't you have a Titans report to do?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Oh, let's do it.
Terry McCormick's Daily Titans Update is brought to you by Soul Tea, your all-natural, caffeine-free dietary supplement for optimal cholesterol health. Online at soultea.com. That's SOLTEA.com. This is Terry McCormick's Daily Titans Update.
By the way, Chattanooga, according to Pogge, has this contract for 2 years.
Interesting.
What do you got for us?
Well, let's talk a little bit about Ryan Tannehill, since that's the latest post that's up on TitanInsider.com.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill, as you know, has kind of hit a rough patch. He's thrown 5 interceptions in the past 2 games, both those games losses. And, you know, some of that can be blamed on the fact that he's not working with his top-level receivers anymore. They're all hurt or departed or whatever. But some of that, I think, has really been lingering since training camp. And here's why I say that. During training camp, and this was also when he didn't have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown for a good bit of the time, and then he got placed in the COVID protocol himself. But during training camp, there were lots of passes that the defense got their hands on in those practice sessions. And to a man, everybody but the Titans, Tannehill, Vrabel, you know, other players, they all said, oh, don't worry about it. It's just training camp. But honestly, something looked a little different. And I don't really know what it is. I think some of it is the fact that, you know, Tannehill probably was using training camp just to see who can make what kind of play. And I think there's some of that that goes on when you're going against your own defense. You know those players. You know yourself. You want to find out about some of the younger receivers. But I think we saw some of this coming very early on. Now, when A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have been out there, or at least one of those guys has been out there, the interception rate is pretty low. But when these other guys trying to establish that rapport, trying to make sure they're in the right spot at the right time, I think that goes all the way back to training camp, where some of those guys and he just didn't connect, just didn't get on the same page maybe the way they needed to.
George, I'll butt in here real quick.
I think
the difference is Derrick Henry. Yeah, I don't think it's whether Julio or A.J. is out there. When Derrick Henry was here, he wasn't throwing near the number he's thrown since then. And I think it was Derrick Henry because he kept us from being in those situations that are all out pass. And That's just not when he's at his best. As I'm going to say, most of the quarterbacks are in the NFL aren't at their best. It's when it's pure old all-out pass, and you're getting 8,000 different coverages and disguises. When Derrick Henry's out there, there ain't no disguises. You're rolling people down in that box as tight as you can get them to stop the run. So I think it's Derrick Henry more than anything else.
Well, there is that. There's absolutely that, and that is a big part of it. But it's just one of those things where these things happened a lot more frequently in camp, and they just kind of dismissed it as nothing. And, you know, it makes you wonder because, you know, and I realize, too, that in training camp and practices, sometimes you're working on different situations. You're working on this. Yeah. You're working on third down specifically. You're working on
2 minute, you know, or whatever.
Yes, 2 minute play action. And those things happen. And what meets the eye is not always what it is. But it's there, you know, as a reminder that this thing just seemed to didn't just kind of crop up overnight, although Watson's point to Derrick Henry not being there certainly is, you know, is a big factor. But when these other guys are out there that are not A.J. Brown and not Julio Jones, I think he's either not trusting those guys to go up and make the same plays, or he's sometimes putting the ball there because he has to on a third and long, and those guys are not capable of making that play.
Okay, I'm not saying I'm throwing a free pass out here, but in fairness to Ryan Tannehill, he may also not be trusting his offensive line the way he used to, because he has gotten the crap kicked out of him this year and has gotten up and lived to tell about every last piece of it.
You are exactly right in that regard, too. So when you get right down to it, you know, while ultimately, it's his responsibility because he's the quarterback. He's the guy who let go of the football. Both you guys are exactly right in that there are a lot of mitigating factors.
End of report?
End of report.
Okay. We have news from the wigwam.
Oh, boy.
Watson?
Yes, sir?
The Atlanta Braves fired up. Not only to be defending world champions, but fired up that Adam Duvall was a solid participant in the Plaster and Friends Celebrity Bowling Night, have tendered Adam Duvall a contract for next season.
Good for Adam.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for Adam.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. Now, let me say this. Why the hell wouldn't they? He only had 38 homers and a National League leading 113 RBIs in addition to earning his first gold glove. And he was a good guy at the bowling event.
Absolutely.
That ought to be worth something.
How many of those 38 did he hit after he got back to Atlanta? Do you know?
16. 16 homers, 45 RBIs. He is, there's no doubt, he's not going to hit 300. Number one, he's strong as an ox. And number two, when he does make contact, he drives in a lot of runs.
Yeah, 16 home runs in just 2 months is pretty good output.
Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to do on the show today. I've asked Lee Fowler to join us, a former athletic director at NC State, MTSU, South Carolina, Upstate, but also my color analyst at Memphis State in basketball. We're going to talk about what obligations athletic directors and coaches both have when people are looking around at other jobs. Predator forward Luke Cunnan at 3:05. Then at 3:30, Ron Bargatze will join us. We'll talk a little hoops, really for the first time this season. Full menu on the Plaster Radio Network.
Hey Hanson's Hardwood is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This salute is brought to you by Hanson's Hardwood. For all your flooring projects, give the pros a call today at 615-281-0244. That's 615-281-0244. Hanson's Hardwood, proudly saluting our troops and veterans. They're professionals who care.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Chenoweth. When our servicemen and women return from war, they often carry wounds that the rest of us cannot see. Up to 1 in 5 veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And often, even the best treatment, including medication and therapy, they fall short. Sadly, more than 6,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Thanks to the life-saving power of the human-animal bond, professionally trained service dogs can help. But connecting a veteran with a well-trained service dog can be difficult. Waitlists are long and training can cost tens of thousands of dollars. But service dogs can bring healing. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program, which provides dogs to veterans for free of charge. Let's help our veterans heal from the invisible wounds of war.
Over the last month or so, you've been hearing me yap about Plaster and Friends Celebrity Bowling Night. I am thrilled to say that the November 29th event is virtually sold out. I am incredibly appreciative of that, and I love the fact that bowling brings out a lot of trash talk. Here's my buddy and Atlanta Braves color analyst, Jeff Francoeur.
Jeff, let's get to the important issue of the day, your level of bowling.
Gosh, I'm usually between a 160 and 180, but I'm telling you, I'm bringing the heat. There's no spin. As you can imagine, just like my golf and baseball swing,
right,
I'm letting it eat on that alley.
Here's what I want you to do. If you didn't sign up with a foursome but really like Last Minute Toy Store in the Martha O'Brien Center, you can make a contribution simply by going to celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. That's celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com.
We prevent engine problems by changing the oil in our car. But when it comes to our hearts, we often wait until there's a problem. Why wait for problems when you can be preventative? Soltea is a patented tea extract that can help reduce cholesterol and help maintain heart health. I have friends who have been taking Soltea for years, and the results have been remarkable. And they owe it to Soltea. Don't wait for a problem. Come to soltea.com/radio and start taking care of your heart today with a special 25% discount exclusively at soltea.com/radio.
Hey guys, it's Turner from Radnor Wine and Spirits. We're a family-owned liquor store that has been serving the Nashville community for 22 years. Located at 2635 8th Avenue South, we have an extensive selection of wine, tequila, craft beer, gin, bourbon, and more. Our staff has over 40 years combined experience, and with more than 10 different hand-selected barrels of bourbon and rye whiskey, we have one of the best selections in town. Come visit us on Wednesdays for wine tastings and 10% off wine all day. Follow us on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615 to see all of our favorite bottles, seasonal cocktail recipes, and any other specials the store is running. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
This is going to be a very interesting conversation that we're going to have. Our buddy, former MTSU, former NC State Athletic Director Lee Fowler is on the line with us. Lee, have you recovered from Monday night?
George, I've figured out that bending over is not something I do quite as well as I did 3 or 4 years ago, the last time I bowled.
So, are you saying it wasn't successful or the aftermath was not good?
Well, aftermath was a good Epsom salt bath and laid around in bed most of the next day. But besides that, I did real well.
Did you have fun?
I had a great time, George. And, you know, usually in my sports life, I've gotten better as I go. I go out with a 141 expecting to go maybe 160 the next game and got a 116 my second game. So it didn't get better.
Yeah. Are you better at bowling than Watson, who turned it over to his wife?
No, I checked Watson's score and was getting ready to go over to congratulate him, and a guy next to me said, oh, he didn't do that. That was his wife at bowl 168.
Yep. That's why I don't bowl, bud. I ain't losing to my wife. I play no horse with her, and I do no bowling.
That's smart. I always knew you were smart, Ben.
I'm smart. I'm not going to do something I can't beat her at, and I cannot even come close in those two things. So.
Just remember, Georgia, fun was the most important part of it.
Absolutely.
Georgia, it was a great time, and I saw a lot of smiling faces and did a lot. You did a lot of good for a lot of kids, and it was a great night.
You know, Lee, the having fun and the helping some kids, man, that is what makes that's what gives me a big old smile about this. And it looked like a Predator home playoff game with all the gold shirts. I loved it.
That's right. There's no question about that.
I loved it. So you know where we're going with this. Over the last week, we've had a series of coaching things that I think have surprised people. I don't think a lot of people really saw Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma to Southern Cal, and the whole thing with Brian Kelly going to LSU, I think, caught people off guard. It kind of broke while we were in the middle of the bowling deal. But, Lee, you get into, at this time of the year, questions like how should it be handled? You know, should a coach leave a team that has a chance to be in the national playoff? Should he speak to his team ahead of time? Should the school grant him the ability to speak to his team? Give me some thoughts on some things that are rumbling around right now with people.
Well, I think it's interesting this year, and Watson has been through it too, and I just think that, you know, here in the last 4 or 5 years, there hadn't been a lot of top programs move top people from other programs, but this year seems to be a different story. I think that the money's there and people are spending the money, and it's always interesting to see how this process goes down, because even though there is a game plan in most situations, very seldom is there one that you can actually follow when you start trying to hire somebody. And the protocol in college athletics is to notify the athletic director at the other school and tell them that you're going to be talking to them, and that doesn't happen a lot of times nowadays. That was kind of the way it was always done, but this day and time, there are agents involved, and there are different things that are going on behind the scenes, and they're basically getting a nod before the AD ever knows anything about it. So I know Jack at Notre Dame, and saw him interviewed this morning, and he said basically that he knew the day before that something was going on, and then, of course, the next day he found out it was over. So it's just the sign of the times and the amount of money that's out there and the secrecy that people are trying to do. And it's hard to keep them secret because, I mean, I had a couple of changes, men's basketball at NC State and football, and everybody's out there telling people your business if they know it. And some of these guys have to go to booster clubs to get the money approved to pay these salaries or pay the incentives on top of the salaries. And so it's not an easy time for these guys. And my hat's off to LSU AD, because it's amazing he got that far without anybody knowing about it, because that's, like you said, an unbelievable hire from one position to another position. When I hired Tom O'Brien from Boston College, I called his AD, and it was kind of, and you know DeFilippo, he was at Vanderbilt at one time with
Senior. Sure.
And when I called, I said, Gene, this is not going to be something that you're probably going to be happy about. And I said, we're going to talk to Tom O'Brien about coming to NC State. And he said, I mean, it went quiet for a second, and the next thing he said was, if you hire Tom O'Brien, you'll have one of the greatest hires you'll ever have in your life. And that shocked me so much. But I realized that these guys have kind of a lifespan, especially these major jobs, of about 5 to 10 years. And fans either like them or don't like them, and they don't have the ability to stay in these places and enjoy things if they haven't done what the, you know, the boosters think they should be doing. So that's why you're seeing some of these major jobs moving.
Here's one I want to ask you about. Jack Swarbrick, who's kind of a different guy at Notre Dame. This is a guy that lives out of an apartment in Indianapolis. Excuse me, that wasn't real good radio. But he lives out of an apartment in Indianapolis and commutes to be the athletic director at Notre Dame, which I wouldn't put up with, but doesn't really matter what I think. He made the comment that he had sensed for a while that Brian Kelly was, I don't know, sort of stagnant. I don't know what the word is. If you're an AD and you sense that a coach maybe is losing his stomach for a particular job, do you go to that coach and say, hey, let's talk?
Well, you would hope you would, but, you know, it could be a lot of different things that he's losing. Maybe not losing his stomach, but he started to realize, I've got 5 or 6, 7 more years of coaching, and I'm not sure I can do any better than I'm doing here. And the expectation here is for you to do better here. And we've been to the mountain, but we've been fourth in the mountain and not played very well when we got there. And so I think he probably felt like that it was unrealistic to think that he could do enough to win the national championship at Notre Dame. And I'd say on the other side, from what I know about Notre Dame, you know, I'm sure they don't pay what these other guys are paying. And so I think the money, you and I talked today, it's the early deal is you should love being here and you should love Notre Dame, and the heck with us having to pay you $9 million to be the football coach. So, but yet you're expected to beat guys that are making $9 million. So, you know, you can see both sides of the issue, but I would imagine that he had gotten the point 10 years or 14 years there. He felt like that he'd done what he could do. He's the winningest coach ever at Notre Dame, and they have a pretty good record in coaching there. So I think it was just a timing situation that this came along. It was good timing. And also, you know, he's hit a home run financially, and he also thinks he can go there and win a national championship. But there is still a guy named Saban over at Alabama. I don't know how long he's going to be coaching, but that would make it a little tougher to win.
Okay, let me take another circumstance and play athletic director for me. Obviously, it didn't happen, and I'm assuming that Jimbo Fisher may have told LSU, look, I'm not going there. They're paying me a lot of money at A&M. I've only been there a couple years, 3 years, whatever. I'm staying. But if you're Ross Bjork, you're the athletic director at A&M, and I've known Ross for years from his Western Kentucky days. As that rumbling starts to get out 3-4 weeks ago, do you basically walk in as the AD and say, I want you to look me in the eye and tell me what either is going on or what isn't going on?
Well, I would think if you have a good relationship, you're able to do that. And you're also able to say, look, we want to keep you. What would it take for you to stay here? And in a lot of cases, these guys use those job opportunities where their name's been mentioned, or their agent mentions their name to these people, or the media in those towns, that the people that they're working for now up the ante, because those boosters don't want to lose those guys. But Jimbo's kind of struggled a little bit, so there are probably some boosters at A&M would be okay if he left and went somewhere else. So it's not an easy game to play when you start doing that, because sometimes they may say, well, why don't you just go ahead and we'll get us somebody new to come in and win the games. I've known Jimbo a long time. We tried to hire him as our offensive coordinator at NC State like in 2002 before he went back to Florida State. And he's a great coach and a guy that does it by the book. And, you know, he's going to do it his way, and he'll do fine at A&M. But that's a tough job also, because you've got Alabama in that side. So at this point in time, they're all playing for second, but all are closer than most people around the country are.
Lee, I know I'm hogging this, and I'm going to turn it over to Watson in a minute. But how much of this now is coaches saying, screw the athletic director, he'll fire me on the tarmac if needed, He'll fire me halfway through a season if needed. And the AD saying, you know what, we're paying you a buttload of money, deal with it.
Well, George, I would say, and I don't know what Watson would say, but most of these situations are about what the trustees, the powerful trustees at each university, are coming to the chancellor or president about and saying, we got it. We want to win a national championship. This guy can't do it. Or, I mean, things change at the top, and sometimes AD has very little to do. He's getting it from both sides. He's got a coach that wants more, and he can't do anything for him. And he's got trustees that are pushing the chancellor to make a change. And, you know, it's not an easy position. I always used to laugh when most of the coaches thought the AD made the most money. And I remember Chuck Amata's wife told my wife once, said, well, your husband's AD, he makes the most money. Of course, Chuck made 10 times more than I did. But I think the perception that the AD is running things isn't always the case if you got trustees involved and also, you know, chancellors that want to be ADs and want to run the program but doesn't want to take the credit if bad things happen. So there's a lot going on out there now, and the more the money that gets involved in it, the more those issues raise their head.
Watson, I know that you're going to have more questions than this segment, so let's try one or two, and then we'll flip it on the other side.
Lee, I know that in my couple of stints as an AD, as I always wanted to have the relationship with the coaches that I could be honest with them and they'd be honest with me. And when things would come up, you'd just close the door and talk. Really, that changed, though, for me at UAB midway through my time there. I had to fight to keep Mike Anderson. I've talked about that on the air before, and really fight. But I didn't get to deal with Mike because the agent really ran the show. And Mike could just basically say, hey, I've not talked to any of these people, and the agent's handling all this for me. So it just changed it when that isn't what I wanted, and I'm not sure that's what Mike wanted, tell you the truth, but that's just the name of the game now.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I dealt with a couple of agents in my time, and the agent, you can really tell whether the coach wants the job or not by the agent, because if the agent's really pushing hard ball and playing hard, you know, I just would tell agents, look, guys, this is what we got. I'm not playing around about this. If he's our guy, but if he won't do it for this, I haven't got any more money to play with. We're not Alabama. But you're right. The agents get so involved in it that I hired a couple of coaches that I didn't meet about the job when I hired them. I knew them through conference meetings and all that stuff, and had played golf with them and socialized with them, but I didn't actually meet with them in person about the job until the agent cut the deal. And that's rather amazing to me. So that relationship doesn't start off in the greatest feeling.
Watson, let's do this. You crank up another couple of questions after the break. Then Terry will get in. Fascinating conversation. Lee Fowler has been a coach. He's been an athletic director. Same story with Watson. Terry and I will never be athletic directors.
Don't want to be, do you?
No.
Not really. Not really. I was trying to come up with something clever, and I just got stuck there.
That was good enough because I knew the answer.
This is the Plaster Radio Network.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Mokara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue, downtown.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope, a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
You have a vision. We have the financing to make it happen. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we have the resources that individuals, families, and businesses need to grow and achieve their goals. As an independent local community bank, we're able to provide loans with great rates, fast decision-making, and personal service from one of our local, friendly lenders. We believe in the power of possibility. It's why we say yes more often. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
For those of you over 40 years old, I want to talk to you about Soul-T. It's been proven to help lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and encourage overall health. If you're lucky enough not to have heart disease, keep it that way. Start taking Soul-T today as a preventative. And right now, listeners to the show, save 25% when you go to soulteat.com/radio to get started.
So over the last few days, the college football world has been rocked. I don't think a lot of people saw Lincoln Riley going to Southern Cal. We all suspect there's something that was going on internally that had Lincoln Riley's name constantly out there. And nobody linked Brian Kelly to LSU. And let me just say up front, he's a really good football coach. Is he a perfect fit at LSU? I don't think so, but doesn't really matter what I think. Watson Brown has been both a football coach and an athletic director. Same story with Lee Fowler, who's on the line with us. Watson, take it away.
Lee, one thing that was hard for me, and I bet you dealt with it the same way because the money wasn't what it is today. The money coming into the university athletically wasn't what it is today. I can remember when we were a good basketball team. It wasn't anything. I mean, a good, solid team. We got hot in the tournament and upset Kentucky and make it to the Sweet 16. All of a sudden, everybody in the world is after my coach. And I had to go out immediately and try to raise money to raise his salary. That is a really hard thing to do in a week's time or a couple of weeks' time, and you nailed it. You got to go straight to certain trustees, board members, whatever it is, and then some other guys too to do that. And that I didn't feel good about that, but that was something. Now, I loved my coach, but I just didn't feel good about having to do that. Did you ever have to deal with it that way?
I sure did. Mine's kind of the opposite situation. We had a coaching situation. They were at the trustees, and everybody wanted to get rid of the coach, and told me we owed about $600,000 for one more year to the assistant coaches, and that they would cover that if we got rid of him.
Yeah.
Well, I happened to know at the time we were getting rid of him, so I said, we'll need that. And so 3 days later, we fired the coach, and those guys, I couldn't find them. The guys are going to pay $600,000. Yeah,
there you go.
Pay the assistant coaches. So it isn't always as easy as some guy saying he's going to do something or isn't going to do something. But, it is rather amazing that once I had a coach that we had hired, had jacket size and everything in basketball, and we went to the boosters. The boosters didn't like who I was going to hire, so they put it out that I was hiring this guy, and it blew the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And so I was put on the road for 20 more days to hire my head coach because the boosters didn't like who I thought was the best coach for the hire. So it was, it can work in a lot of different ways, but I can promise you, the boosters are the one that are pushing for success.
Oh, absolutely. And that leads to – I want to hog it, and I'll give this to Terry. That leads to this last question for you, Lee. I'm really disappointed where NC2A amateur athletics, college sports, is right now, Lee. This transfer portal has just rocked the business. The NIL stuff also – and I'm not saying I'm against that, but all these things rocking it through the player, and now these big dollars and long contracts rocking the coaches and throwing them everywhere, and I'm one of them. Cincinnati ate me alive. The newspapers, the fans said I left for money to leave Cincinnati to go to Rice, and there's some truth to that. That wasn't the real reason. But what I'm getting at is, Lee, to me, there is no family anymore. There is no let's do it together anymore. We got players leaving in mid-season. The leading rusher at Tennessee doesn't play the last game. Brian Kelly's got a team that very easily could be in the Final Four, and he's gone. I just don't feel good, Lee, where we are. Am I wrong about that? Am I thinking too much in a rose-colored look of some of the ways it used to be? Comment on it, and do you feel the way I do?
Well, I think the Final Four in basketball has kind of got the football people, and they got a lot of money for this championship four-game series, but I think that's hurt football. I think that at least in basketball, you got 68 teams that feel like you're successful. Now, going to a bowl means nothing, and only going to these four teams going means anything, and they may up it to eight or whatever, but I think it's gotten top-heavy, and that's what scares me more than anything else, because it's tough to preach amateurism when you're making, $100 million in 10 years. So I just think it's all about chasing the national championship and how many schools can really have a chance to do that. There are only a handful that can do that really and truly. I mean, maybe 20 that some year might have a chance, but most years don't. But that's where all the emphasis is, and that's what scares me more than anything else because, I've always been a believer that if you're making $300,000, most people can't make that, but, what are you going to do to keep that job? Or what are you going to do for a $10 million job if it takes this or that to keep the job? I mean, it just worries me where we're headed and really the things that people might be willing to do to try to win a national championship is real scary, especially in an academic environment.
Yeah. There you go, buddy. You got a little bit here.
All right, Lee, I'm going to start off this way with you in terms of, you know, a lot of schools, especially the Blue Bloods, you know, whenever there was a coaching vacancy there, like at Alabama or Michigan, they had to have one of their guys come in. You know, it had to be an Alabama man, a Michigan man, and so on down the line at some of these, you know, upper echelon, upper crust programs.
UL Monroe man?
Yes. But I think that, you know, it seems like, especially with Nick Saban and the success he had at Alabama and Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, seems like teams are starting to get away from that. Do you think that that's become a lot less important to a lot of these boosters and people now that are an athletics directors?
Yeah, I think they look more at what somebody's done and how they did it and where they did it and if they have a chance to do it. So I never did get that kind of influence, but I do know Alabama for a while wouldn't hire anybody unless it was some connection to Bear Bryant. But I think, you know, over the years, sometimes it's just impossible to do that. And I think seeing what they've done at Alabama would kind of make you not worry about that. Even though Harbaugh's a Michigan guy, you know, his record wasn't great against Ohio State and Michigan State until this last win. And you know, it's hard to go by that. I think that if you can hire one of yours and it's all things are equal, that's great. But I don't think you go that way because somebody's a graduate.
And then my second one is this, and you alluded to it, how that the college football playoff has kind of become a little bit more, you know, they want to, because they're caught by the lure of the NCAA basketball tournament. But the part of the lure of the NCAA basketball tournament is the little guy being able to beat the big guy, especially in the early rounds. Do you feel like that if the college football playoff winds up expanding, do you feel like they've got to make room for at least more than one of these group of five schools to have a chance to get in order to make it more like that if they're enamored with that?
Well, I think the more, you know, if they go to eight, they probably won't, but it will give probably one of them a chance to get in. And in most years, there's been a team good enough or thought they were good enough, gone undefeated or lost one game. But I think you're going to see, if it ever went to 16, I don't think Watson thinks it will, but 16 teams is a lot of travel, a lot of injuries, a lot more games. But if it went that big, then I think definitely they would add some of those other conferences, because if they don't, then, you know, football's going to go away except for the top 60 or 70 teams, and we've all talked about that, how hard that is to make it work because you got nobody to lose to. Everybody's going to be beating each other up.
Lee, you were a good man to do this on short notice. I would suggest for you Metamucil.
Well, I'm over it now, George. I'm looking forward to next year.
You know what? There's going to be a next year, and Lee, I want you as one of the celebs.
Boy, I tell you one thing. You're running out of celebs every day, but what a great group of guys. Almost every university in the area was represented. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I'm fired up about it. Lee, thanks as always.
Thank you. See you guys.
Guess what's coming, Terry?
Good old stat of the day, I'm sure.
Yes.
And Riley's over there and looking like, grinning like the Cheshire Cat.
On the Plaster Radio Network.
Doctors, waiting rooms, tests, and results. Sometimes it can be hard to find the time to breathe. Thankfully, finding the right cancer treatment doesn't have to be so hard. Trialgectory, recognized by Time Magazine as one of the 100 best inventions of 2020, uses a 5-minute questionnaire to help you or a loved one find all their cancer treatment options. And the best part? It's completely free. No surprise costs, no insurance, no credit cards. Just 5 minutes and you'll receive a matched list of personalized treatment options. Trialgectory has helped over 50,000 patients find cancer treatment options. Let us help you or someone you love do the same. To receive your list of treatment options at no cost, please visit www.tjhealth.us. That's www.tjhealth.us. TJHealth.us.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom, and I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit MakeTheConnection.net to find out more.
Hey Nashville, the 2022 Vandy basketball schedules have arrived and are made available and free by the following sponsors: Alaco Hardwood Flooring, Ewing Bass Garage and Transmissions, Master Battery, Joe Link Concrete Construction, Morton Plumbing, Nationwide Business Brokerage, Argrove Body Shop, Eyewash, Clean Juice and Green Hills, and Rob Kelly Recovery Group. Please patronize these businesses. They're an asset to our community. This message is paid for and brought to you by Prestige Marketing, LLC.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
And now, it's time for Stat of the Day. Brought to you by Soul Tea, the organic hand-blended tea that's good for the soul. And now, here he is, George Plaster.
Okay, Stat of the Day. Barry, we got off the hook. I don't think we did one yesterday, did we?
No, we didn't.
Yeah. That was a good day.
That was a good day. We didn't miss anything.
Riley, fresh off a big 3.5-hour show with Jackson Duncan. They did a Facebook Live from the bowling event. And by the way, it is on our website. You can find it in the Facebook part, Nashville Sports Radio. What do you got for us?
It's not often that one college program, or I guess one college department, athletically has so much success over a long period of time. But last month, one college athletics program had all of their teams win the entire month. So they did not experience a single loss across five different sports that played for them. What was that college?
Can you tell us the sports?
I mean...
Football, men's basketball, women's basketball. What are the other two?
I believe soccer and volleyball.
I've eliminated Rutgers.
Correct.
Watson, you got any thoughts as we get started on this?
Not yet. I'm trying to think. I wonder if it's somewhere out west coast somewhere.
You are getting warmer.
Mm-hmm. You know, you would normally think something like Stanford. That's not who it is. Their football team got pummeled in November.
So who out there was on a five, was on, like, their football team was on a five-game winning streak?
Utah. Kicked butt and took names.
Okay, their men's basketball has usually been pretty good. Used to be.
Watson, do you have anything better than Utah?
No. I wonder if it's division, if it's FBS, or if it's might be a smaller school.
It is FBS.
It is FBS.
Correct.
Whew. George? That's a good one. I don't know who. I can't come up with anybody.
We'll go with George's guess.
Utah.
You were close. Was BYU. Really?
Was it really?
Yep.
BYU. Wow.
Women's soccer. Wow. Women's volleyball. Basketball. Both sides in football. No one lost. 29-0 the whole month.
Wow. Holy cow. That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
They should be good. They got a bunch of 30-year-olds.
Watch yourself. I didn't know where you were going with that one.
You are going to get a lot of
I got a little cringe when you started that.
Listen to you. Predator forward Luke Cunnan will start the 3 o'clock hour. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. The U.S. joins about two dozen other countries with a confirmed case of the new Omicron variant. The first case in California. White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci.
We knew that it was just a matter of time before the first case of Omicron would be detected in the United States.
The individual returned from South Africa on November 22nd. This person is fully vaccinated and has mild symptoms. Prosecutors in Michigan have identified the suspected shooter in yesterday's school shooting as Ethan Crumbly. The 15-year-old will be charged as an adult. He's charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder, 7 counts of assault with intent to murder, and 1 count of terrorism causing death. The Supreme Court listened to oral arguments in what could be another watershed moment for abortion rights. Justices taking up the case of a Mississippi law banning abortions after 15 weeks. A decision is expected in the summer. This is ABC News.
With just one spray of Microban 24, your hard surfaces are sanitized for up to 24 hours. Touch after touch after touch.
So 6 hours from now?
Still sanitized.
12 hours?
Yep.
18 hours.
We're really doing this.
24 hours.
When used as directed, one spray of Microban keeps killing 99.9% of bacteria touch after touch for, yeah, up to 24 hours.
Wow.
Microban 24, the sanitizer 4 out of 5 doctors would use in their own homes. So why aren't you?
Whether you're vaccinated or not, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign of COVID and the flu, so make sure you use an accurate thermometer. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them, and you cannot rely on them. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
901-424-5218. 901-424-5218. That's 901-424-5218.
Nashville, get ready to party Smashville style. On February 26th, the Nashville Predators will make history with the first ever outdoor NHL game in Tennessee as they host the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series. The Preds will take on the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning in front of 70,000 rockin' fans. Visit NHL.com/stadium series tickets.
Touchdown, Leonard Fournette.
Witness tomorrow's NFL stars this December at the Transperfect Music City Bowl.
Eli back to throw, avoids pressure, steps up, has a man wide open, Armstrong in the end zone, touchdown.
Don't miss a second as two of college football's most exciting programs from the SEC and Big Ten go head-to-head on Thursday, December 30th at 2 p.m. inside Nissan Stadium. For more information on this year's game, including ticket availability, visit MusicCityBowl.com to get your tickets today.
You are about to witness history in the making.
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
What horrible, spirit-crushing thing are you going to tell me now?
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
Americans heard the news and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600, and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Three o'clock hour is going to be a good one. It's going to start in a couple of 60 seconds or so with Predator forward Luke Cunnan. By the way, the Preds just scored about 15 seconds ago. They were on a rampage last night. Six goals in a victory over Columbus. And here's what I thought about it. I was singing that loudly and proudly last night between the second and third periods. Luke Cunnan on the line with us. Luke, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. So you got to witness up close and personal one of the most remarkable performances we're ever going to see from Philip Forsberg. How in the world does that happen?
Yeah, I mean he's a pretty special talent, and you know he was working his bag off last night, and he got rewarded for it. So it was a fun one for all of us to be a part of. But you know, happy we got the win. But yeah, that line for sure. But you know, that was pretty cool what he did.
Luke, in all the years you've been in hockey, have you ever seen a performance like that on your team?
I mean, it would have to be years back in youth hockey when the talent was a little more, you know, a little more spread out. You got some guys getting those kind of goals a game, but it's pretty cool to see someone, you know, do it at the highest level.
I believe I saw this stat that this is only the second or third time in NHL history where somebody scores four goals and all of the assists are by the same person. Luke, what happens in a deal like that? Is there a snowball of confidence? Is it just, you know, coincidence? What causes that?
I mean, definitely. You get a couple early like they did. You're definitely feeling good about your game, and it seems to just kind of keep going throughout. But like I said, those guys work so hard and create a lot. And, you know, they're going to make plays out there. And then when they have chances to finish, they do. So it's, you know, I think a lot of things can go into it. And it was just one of those nights.
Okay. I'm not looking for anything that's, you know, team secrets. But what kind of things got said to him last night as this is going on? Because, gosh, he had the hat trick, what, early in the second period?
Yeah, I mean, guys are kind of joking around in the room a little bit. You know, he could get three or four after the first. I think guys were saying that. And, Sure enough, it happened. So, you know, it's always fun, especially when you're winning the game, when someone's playing that well, so you can kind of enjoy it a little more, have a little more fun with it, and kind of mess around with each other like that. So that was cool.
Luke, as I look right now, and obviously I keep up with this pretty close from Section 304, Row 1. Before the season started, people sort of had you all pegged into it's nothing but a rebuild. There really was not a very good vibe about all this. And I kept thinking back to last year going, wait a minute. In March and April, this was a damn good hockey team that forced their way into the playoffs. Today, you all are sitting in third place, 2 points out of second in the Western Division. What do you think you all are right now, and has the negative talk maybe spurred you all on to something a little better?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, the same things kind of were said last year. I think, you know, as players and as a team, you kind of just worry about what you can control and kind of block out the outside noise and just come together as a group, and, you know, we can kind of write the book on what kind of team we're going to be and how we want to play and be looked at as. And I think we've done a good job of that. Just focus on what we need to do every single day, whether that's practice, games, you know, just having the right mindset, be a competitive group. And I think we all, you know, we're all buying into that, which we've been doing a really good job of. I think, you know, the results usually come. So you try to tune out the noise, and, you know, you're always going to get that as, you know, athletes. There's going to be good things said about you, not good things, and it's just really how you respond and kind of what you worry about, I guess.
Preds continue the homestand tomorrow night against the Boston Bruins at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone, and then the Montreal Canadiens Saturday for what is a 6 o'clock start. Predator forward Luke Cunnan on the line with us. Watson, what do you got for him?
Luke, in football and basketball, pace is such a big part of the game, and it's so different from team to team. One team will be we're going to play as fast as we can possibly play in both sports, and then the other times we're going to slow this thing down. We're not running up and down the floor the same way in basketball, or we're trying to eat clock in football. Does that come into play in hockey as much as it does those two sports?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely different sports, different approaches, I guess, to the game and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to see teams that are, you know, like to push the pace and play a little bit quicker, kind of run-and-gun offense. And then there's other teams who kind of sit back more defensively. And I think for our group, we always want to play fast. You know, we think we got a fast team and good defensemen that move the pucks quick to the forward. So I think when we're having a lot of success, we're playing fast, quick, North hockey. And but, yeah, I mean, it does kind of change game to game, you know, I guess on your opponent and whatnot. But I think everyone, at least teams I've been on, you know, you want to be a fast team. You want to play fast. You don't want to slow, you know, time and place to slow things down and make plays, but definitely get up and go.
Well, and when you do that, does it change from game to game? Are there certain teams, okay, now we're gonna do this? And the second piece of that to me, when is it in that third period and you've got a nice lead, do you slow it down? Because that's what we did in football all the time. And I basketball's a little harder because of the shot clock, but we would be a fast-paced team, Luke, and then really kind of slow the thing down. When does that happen in hockey? Does it happen?
Not really, to be honest with you. I mean, you play the full 60 to – you know, the way you want to play, the way, you know, your team is told to play and structured to play. I don't think there really is too many things that, you know, you really change as the game goes on when the score's like that. Maybe, you know, you 6-0, if you guys got a good lead, you're not, you know, power plays, we weren't thrown out that top unit, things like that. But, like, yeah, as far as the game and pace of play and how you want to play, it always pretty much stays the same.
And my last thing I'll give you to Terry, does it change during the game to more of a defensive mode instead of an offensive mode, or does that happen in hockey at all? Do you are you up 3-1? You're in the third period. You're going to be a little bit more in a defensive thought process. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, I think, you know, you might have a, you know, 3-2 game, 10 minutes left in the third, 3-1 game, you're up. You know, you might, you know, just be a little smarter with the puck, get pucks in, be a little, you know, make sure you have a good, you know, forward F3, you know, just make sure you're not giving up odd man rushes, give them a chance to get back in the game. You know, you're playing to win. You shouldn't be chasing offense too much. Obviously, you got to still play the game, and there's chances there, take them, but a little bit, you know, you got to be smart, obviously, because you're trying to win.
Is that discussed over there on the bench before you go back into your turn to jump out?
I mean, I think everyone's talking, but it kind of just comes with playing. You know the situations in the game where how you got to play and whatnot.
Yeah. Terry?
Luke, you guys are going through, got an Eastern swing, I guess, with some of those teams coming in. What's it like preparing for those teams that you don't get to see as often as you do those in your own conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely fun. You know, last year we played the same, you know, few teams so much. It's nice to see other teams. You know, every team's a little bit different. It's fun to play different players, different teams, like I said. But, you know, we'll watch film. We'll see what their tendencies are and, you know, figure out a plan for us to, you know, have success. So that's kind of what we, you know, do every game. You know, we have great video coaches, and our coaches put together a good plan for us to go through as a group and watch and see, you know, areas we can, you know, we can capitalize on, their tendencies, how we can defend, and just kind of go from there.
And then the next three games are all against teams that were from the NHL's original six. Do guys, especially guys maybe who have a little bit of a sense of the history of the game, do you get a little more jazzed up when you play one of those original six teams as opposed to maybe, you know, just the normal game?
You know, maybe some guys do. I get I'm kind of the same no matter who you're playing. It's, you know, it's the NHL. You're playing in the NHL. NHL teams are all good. So, you know, you kind of have that same feeling, you know, every time you step out there.
And then, you know, as far as going back to the Forsberg, you know, his performance last night, what was it like, you know, as the for the crowd? What did you sense anything from the crowd as far as, you know, they're seeing something that doesn't happen very often with a 4-goal game?
I mean, it's nice to be home. You know, we've been on the road so much. It's nice to, you know, have a performance like that at home, give our crowd something to be, you know, be happy about, cheer about, and you know, getting on the board early like we did, and it was fun for us, and you know, they were great like always.
Actually, it was more fun for us.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Luke, I just sent you a couple of pictures of what the bowling night looked like. Get your bowling arm ready next year.
Yeah, I will. Looks awesome. I'm taking a peek at it right now.
Yeah. You'll notice it kind of has a little Predator gold. It's amazing. We got all the shirts that we gave everybody in what is essentially Predator gold, and I've learned gold pops better than any other color. And so the Preds definitely had some influence on the event.
I love it. That's awesome. Glad to hear it went well.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, talk to you sometime next week. Good luck tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
Luke Cunnan joining us here on the show. Very quickly, basketball fans, celebrate the NBA's 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. It's easy to use. When you win, you get your winnings back quick. There's live betting, which a lot of people really like, and there's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel. Already, FanDuel Sportsbook looking for all customers, hooking up all customers with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. Just invite them using this exclusive referral link, which can easily be found when you tap the refer icon. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code WNSR to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code WNSR. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789. We'll stall around for a few minutes when we come back, and then Coach Ron Bargatze will join us around 3:30. Our first crack at talking a little college basketball as it's starting to get underway. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been helping our best friends in their worst times, during hurricanes, tornadoes, and increasingly, wildfires. They're real heroes to these animals. But Mother Nature isn't the only danger that animals face. Sometimes it's human nature that's the greatest threat. Each year, more than 6 million beautiful adoptable animals are being abandoned, and more than 1 million are euthanized before they can be rescued. These animals need heroes too. Heroes to open up their hearts and homes and to give them the love they deserve. Be a hero to an animal in need. Consider becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer or adopt from your local shelter. Visit AmericanHumane.org to find out how you can be a hero and help our best friends in their worst times.
If you're tired of the same old company holiday party or would like to reward your team with a fun night out, then Strike and Spare Family Fun Center is the place to be. Strike and Spare Family Fun Center specializes in group events, no matter how big or small. So contact the locations in Tusculum, Donelson, Hermitage, Murfreesboro, or Hendersonville to reserve your event. Plus, Hendersonville and Murfreesboro offers bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. Visit them online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare Family Fun Center, where fun is bowling.
If you have roofing, siding, or gutter needs, A&R Roofing is your one-stop solution. A&R Roofing combines the small-town values you trust with the big-league quality required to get the job done right. If you have an old roof that needs replacing or one that has storm damage, A&R Roofing can provide you with a free inspection. They specialize in shingle roofs, metal roofs, flat roofing, and custom copper roofing. A&R Roofing can also take care of your siding needs, whether it's vinyl siding, hardy board, or board and batten. Call Bob at A&R Roofing, 615-389-1916.
Over the last several months, you've heard me talk about golf, and in particular, Riverside Golf Links. It's at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. Earlier this summer, I went out and played, and I found out for sure that the things I've been saying to you in the commercial were absolutely true. So I want to take this and go one step farther. As the weather gets a little bit cooler, you might think about next year in golf, tournaments you might be involved in, tournaments you might set up. Let me strongly suggest Riverside Golf Links. I did this with a friend earlier, and they got it all set up, and they'll be playing a tournament next year. They've got 27 holes. You can simply go to riversidegolflinks.com or give them a call, 615-847-5074. It's golf the way you want it at Riverside Golf Links.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whoever gets hired at any school, the fan base is immediately hypnotized. Once that guy stands at the podium and he says, go team, and here's the way it's going to be, and I'm a winner, the fans automatically just melt. They could hire a guy you've never heard of from a different planet, and once that guy's done at the podium, you'd say, there it is. Happens every time.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
I have a vitally important question to ask both of y'all. Watson?
Yeah.
I'm a big college basketball fan, but I'm also a big college football fan. And I find myself feeling like college basketball is starting about 2 to 3 weeks too early, and that it needs to let the football get out of the way to about December 1st. And if that means they have to extend their season a little bit, so be it. What do you think?
I kind of look at it as when I was AD, I always looked at it as, I said, this is their spring practice. They're getting their early games, and there ain't a lot of people in the stands. It's kind of like scrimmages a little bit, you know, and they count. I understand that, but that's the way I always looked at it, is we'll build this thing up, and right around, you know, mid-December, you start playing some pretty important games. And so that's the way I always looked at it, George. It was just kind of a spring practice thing.
Terry, what do you think? Because I got to be honest, I'm watching games at times, but I find myself not ready to give up football and go hog wild hoops.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I don't watch a lot of college basketball at this time of year. Football, you know, it kind of gets a little – now, basketball certainly has a place once the regular season, because there's that gap between the regular season and for all those teams that don't make a conference championship game or maybe even don't make a bowl, you know, that, you know, it's over. But that, for those that do make a bowl, there's usually a 2 to 3 week gap between end of the regular season and the time they take the field for their bowl. So I guess basketball can fit in there okay, but I have to admit I don't watch a lot of it at this time of year.
Watson, have you ever in your college life ever gotten the sense that, hey, you know, there needs to be some legislation to push it back a ways?
Yeah, I've thought that just like you, George, but the money comes in that NCAA tournament for basketball. And I just think they've got their perfect spacing for that. And if you push it back, now you're going to end up pushing that back. The only thing they could do would play less games, and the coaches, every time I ever brought that up, that was just absolute, I'm a communist for even saying something like that, you know. So I think that it's what it is. I think all the basketball people understand, don't get upset. There's not a lot of people at the games of most of these teams. Now, I mean, if Kentucky plays or somebody like North Carolina, they'll be there if they're playing Sisters of the Poor. But I just think they accept what it is. We're going to get better during this time. And we understand right around mid-December, look out, here it goes. And then conference play usually starts in early January, and you're on your way. Basketball coach, if you talk to them, George, they have three seasons. They have the before Christmas or before New Year's season, the conference season, and then the tournament season. And I think they prepare their teams that way.
I'll be interested in what Coach B has to say. For instance, tomorrow night, really good game locally involving Lipscomb at Belmont, Battle of the Boulevard. And unfortunately, because of the way their conference affiliations work, this is kind of when they have to jam it in there to get it to happen. And I don't know. I just oftentimes think that we have lost the best of that rivalry because of that.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, that goes back to when they were both in the NAIA with Don Meyer and Rick Byrd. It's a rivalry that goes back. But also the other thing too, George, and you know, since professional sports have come here, that's also seems to have kind of pushed it in the background a little bit.
No question.
And I just think that, you know, it's kind of in one sense, it's kind of a shame because it really is a special game when they get together.
Yeah, and I think, look, we knew that there were going to be victims when you get to this. Tomorrow night, somebody like me has to make a decision. Am I going to Belmont Lipscomb or am I going to the Preds? And tomorrow night, the Preds are probably going to win out, not because I have any less feelings about Lipscomb and Belmont, but simply because you can only be one place at one time.
That is true. And, you know, you hope that it doesn't hurt it too much, you know, with that sort of thing. And two, I mean, I haven't been to a Belmont Lipscomb game, you know, in quite a while, and you would know better than I would, George, having worked at Belmont. Does the rivalry still hold the same spice since they're now in different conferences?
I think it does. Having worked at Belmont for 3 years, I didn't notice any, I don't know, what's the word, less, how am I trying to say, ferociousness?
Yeah.
Would that be the right way?
That's good enough.
You know, I think that's because they've both been pretty good. Rivalries stay good because of competition. When one side is just can't beat the other side time in and time out, that's when those rivalries kind of disappear, to be very honest. And both these two teams have stayed pretty good.
Wow, all kinds of stuff.
All kinds there. Of stuff going on. Yeah, I heard where'd that organ music come from?
Yeah. I also don't think I've given Ray Coach B's number.
Oh, there you go.
Is that true? I have given it to you. We'll get him on here in just a second. Just some thoughts as we get going. And I'll be curious when we get Coach B on what he has to say about it.
Yeah. Here's something that I think could help spice up, and it's been done some, but could spice up the early part of college basketball season, at least from a local standpoint. I think the big dogs, you know, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, they should be playing Middle Tennessee, Belmont, Lipscomb, TSU, Western Kentucky, Tennessee Tech, Austin Peay. There should be some of those games interspersed in the late November, December part of the schedule, because I think that, you know, locally and also not make every time have to be at the bigger school. You know, if you could get Vanderbilt to show up at Austin Peay, would it generate some interest in Clarksville? Maybe.
Oh yeah. Let me get Coach B, Ron Bargatze, on the line with us. Probably as wired into the college basketball community as anybody. Coach B, I know you've got limited time, so I'm going to move quick on this. Okay. Is college basketball hurting itself by starting in early November and having to really face still 3 weeks of a college football season?
You mean in terms of interest and exposure?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty tough. It's a little bit like hockey has been. It builds as the year goes on, and it has to fight, you know, early basketball and ending of football, and so yeah, I think they need a little more autonomy.
Okay, since we're moving quick, give me a few thoughts on both Belmont and Lipscomb. They play tomorrow night.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, just take the Dayton triangle and look at what Lipscomb did at Dayton, and then how Belmont did against Dayton on a neutral floor, and I think you'd have to say, and Asadula is really a handful, and can Musinski match up against him defensively and stay out of foul trouble and stop him? I don't know. It's going to be a tall order.
Okay, give me the where you think both of these teams are and what you think their ceiling is.
Well, I think both teams are excellent teams. Both of them are well coached. Belmont's got all those seniors, and so you'd have to say the game at Belmont, you'd have to say Belmont's either a very, very slight favorite or it's a toss-up game. But it should be a great one. I think probably the best balanced game that series has had in a while.
Okay, I'm going to open the phones around 3:40 for one segment. Watson, real quickly, a question or two for Coach B.
Ronnie, how did you feel about the Belmont move and leaving the OVC? Did you think that was the right thing for them to do for all of athletics? It looks to me basketball for sure. But were you behind the move and think it's the right thing to do?
Well, that's above my pay grade to make that decision. But I thought the OVC was excellent. But I see the OVC having a crumbling foundation right now. Football is driving some of that with some of the schools leaving. I think Belmont wants to. They want to. The facilities are really unbelievable for this area and where they've been in the past. And so Watson, Belmont's just going to have to stretch out and be big boys in that transition. They're not quite there for Missouri Valley, although they can beat a lot of the Missouri Valley teams, probably. It's going to be a tall order, and it's going to be, every night they're going to get a team that potentially can make it to the NCAA tournament. There's probably six or seven programs in there that you've got to really step up your game to compete against.
Yeah. And my second quick one to you, tell me how good you think Vanderbilt is. I know that one game where they just were awful. Then they go to Pitt, knock them off. How good is this Vanderbilt team? Is it going to be better than last year? We're going to be looking at what we did a year ago.
Can they replace Dessou? I don't know. That's a big order. I thought he was an excellent player. If Dessou were back on that team, I think they would be looking at mid SEC conference standings. Without him, they're really going to have to do well. It's hard to say. The VCU game, they played really poorly and just didn't have any offensive punch at all. I was at that game and saw it in person. And they go to Pitt and kind of surprised me there a little bit. And the other, the cupcake teams that they're going to beat by 20 to 30 points, it doesn't really tell us really much now, but it gives Coach Stackhouse a chance to put people in the heat of action. And so we're going to see a lot of unanswered questions. And if you look in the SEC, look at all those gaudy records, 7-0s and 7-6-0s and 6-1s, the whole league. But it's hard to compare those schedules because the philosophy the coach has on trying to get his team ready for conference race.
Yeah. Terry?
Coach B, one of the things that I brought up right before you came on was trying to get, a little bit to create some interest in early season basketball games. Maybe if you could get a Vanderbilt matched up with an Austin Peay or an MTSU, something like that, or Tennessee against TSU and those sorts of things. How doable is that from a schedule standpoint? Because it seems like teams nowadays are more interested in going off to these classics that they play, in Hawaii and Alaska and places like that than they are, playing these local rivalry games a lot of times.
Well, scheduling those teams in Hawaii and Alaska and Bahamas and Florida is a great recruiting tool. They use those schedules that they make in advance and recruit to them. So and it also depends on the philosophy of the coach. If you take a Rick Byrd, for instance, who back in the early 90s gave up his home game to play the Battle of the Boulevard, the first one at Vanderbilt, which I thought was a very unselfish thing to do, but I think Rick felt like that was for the greater good and for the good of basketball in this area, and he gave up a home court to play that game, and, that's a very historic game in a lot of ways. And then you've seen Vanderbilt go to Western Kentucky, to Middle Tennessee State, to Tennessee Tech, to all these schools to give them a great dedication game for their new arenas along the way. And I think it would be great for local basketball interest if, for instance, the new center they're building downtown Clarksville that Austin Peay's going to have as their home arena. It'd be great for a Vandy to come in there and play them. So it's a real mixed bag on coaches' philosophies and scheduling.
Coach B, I know you got to run. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. And great job on the bowling event.
Hey.
Unbelievable.
Thank you. You're nice to say that. We'll do it again next year. Be ready.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, I got one line open as we go to the break. 615-844-5600. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Hi, I'm Marcus Scribner. The way we treat others affects us all, and that includes the way we treat animals. Cruel treatment of animals overseas led to the pandemic crisis, killing 1 million people worldwide. Environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have killed endangered wild species. Our world today is a poorer place for people to live and inhumane for both people and animals. To fight back, American Humane created a 10-point plan to help animals, people, and the world we share. From ending the dog and cat meat trade to universal humane standards for farms, zoos, entertainment, and animal transport. Together, we can make a difference. Join the fight for our animal friends. Go to AmericanHumane.org today and sign our new deal for animals. For a kinder, safer, and healthier world for all of us.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Smashville is waiting for you. Join us to be a part of the action. Head to Bridgestone Arena December 2nd and 4th to watch your Nashville Predators take on fierce opponents, the Boston Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens. Single game tickets are available now. Visit NashvillePredators.com/tickets. There's nothing better than hockey at home in Smashville. Don't wait. Secure your tickets today. NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Grab your gold and get to Smashville. Let's go, Preds!
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final App. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Champions Week is going down from Nashville, Tennessee. Everything from next-gen displays to the 16 playoff drivers, plus this year, the Truck Series and Xfinity Series champions will be honored in the same awards ceremony. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats and info, and Champions Week goodness right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to the Final App with Kerry Murphy.
We have loaded lines. I'm going to try and get to all three of you, so let's move in a hurry. Jeff in Murfreesboro, get us started.
How's it going, George?
Good.
Well, I just want to say Tennessee and Vanderbilt aren't going to come up here and play Middle Tennessee. I mean, we had to drag Vanderbilt's women up here to play them here a few weeks ago, drew 4,500. So the men's team ain't gonna come up here and play them. They ain't gonna play Austin Peay unless you pay them a whole bunch of money and play them up here. And they ain't gonna do that. They ain't gonna do all this good for the game and all this stuff. They want to win. As far as a basketball starting, one host on every four said, "Stop the nonsense. I'm not ready for basketball again." He wouldn't say that about football. He talked about basketball. They'll start when they want to, in my opinion. It's because people don't want to watch it. Ohio State beat Duke last night, and they're, of course, they're number one in the country.
Right. Jeff, before we go too far with this, I'm a big college basketball fan.
Why don't you talk about it then?
I am talking about it.
Well, it's been 3 weeks. The season doesn't start 3 weeks ago.
Well, you know what? If you don't like it, then go somewhere else.
Well, I mean, that's fine. If you want to watch football, you want to watch USFL in the spring, New Orleans Breakers.
That's not what we do, Jeff, and you know damn good and well it's not what we do.
You'll talk about night one. Y'all have a good day.
What's your outlook for the Breakers this spring, George?
I don't know. Look, there is a little bit of a dilemma. Football has sort of become king.
And
I'm a big college basketball fan.
Yeah.
And I watch as much of it as anybody. But early in the season, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do a lot of talking about it.
Well, it just seems like that it's kind of secondary in terms of what people want to talk about. You know, most people want to talk about football until the football season is over, and then some people still want to talk about it year round. Now, I'm not particularly one of those. I mean, yeah, I'll talk draft or talk, you know, mini camp or something if something is going on, but, you know, I'm not one of these people that wants to sit here and, you know, dissect the Titans roster in the middle of May because it does no good. But in terms of college basketball, I think it has become a situation where, whether it's college basketball, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, NASCAR, whatever you want to name, it's all kind of had to fall in line behind the NFL and college football in terms of what people want to talk about and what people watch.
Tony in Nolensville, you are up next.
Afternoon, guys. Hello, guys.
Howdy.
George, on a little lighter note, today's date, 12/01/2021, same numbers, pretty significant. But what is even more significant about today, Terry and Watson, it's National Pie Day on Wednesday. Charlie's.
No, George didn't invite us, so guess there's no free pie Wednesday this week.
I gave you a free bowling shirt.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Aren't you sweet? Watson, touching on what you had said earlier about the high school games being played in the smaller cities, yeah. I really think that is true. I like that because, y'all, you know, just here this weekend, George and Terry, we've got the Preds playing tomorrow night. You've got the Lipscomb-Belmont game. You've got the NASCAR event that's taking place during the weekend. You've got the whole atmosphere of Broadway in itself. And I think if the state high school football games were here in Nashua, Vanderbilt, or so, I think it would be lost among all that. And that's where I agree with Watson on. I think that was a good point you talked about on that.
Yeah, I just when you've come up here, and not just Cookeville, I've been in a lot of states where this happens, where they're kind of in – not the big city or whatever, Tony. And you just, there's such a buzz around that community when you bring your team into play that you just don't get when you're locked in the traffic in a city trying to get to the game. You know, I think there's just a difference.
That's the only event going on in that town.
Yes.
Big event,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes. They even changed the, like Tennessee Tech would move games. They would move a basketball game and make sure they weren't playing at home during that time. So this community really gave a lot to try to make it the best they could.
Tony, there's two parts of that, though. The other part is, do you want the kids to have the atmosphere of something involved in Nashville? Now, let me say this. There was a point when Roy Kramer was the athletic director at Vandy where they really wanted the games. Once he was gone, they acted like it was a disease and a royal pain in their butt. I didn't appreciate the attitude. A lot of people involved in the old Clinic Bowl did not appreciate that attitude. And ultimately, I think the TSSAA got tired of dealing with it.
That is true, George. And you being on the inside of that, you know a lot more about it than what the public does. And that sheds some more light on it that I think a lot of people need to know about. Last thing, guys, I'm going to get off here. I know you're short on time. George, as of last night, 9 Major League Baseball contracts have been signed for over at least 100 million or more for the upcoming years, and you still got 10 big names that are still out there, and it's unbelievable, guys, where all this money comes from. And I'm afraid, as we've talked about it before in the past, it just always going to somehow or another be trickled back down to costing the fan a little bit more on the to try to take a family to the game. It really does.
Hard to disagree with that, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.
It is very hard to disagree with that. I mean, the money's flowing freely right now. That's
the $8 ticket doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't.
Tommy in Nashville, you are up next. Thank you for waiting.
Thanks, George. Watson, I think the Auburn staff really made a huge error in the Alabama game in the overtime. They got a quarterback that's playing on one foot, and I think their strategy was just to go toe-and-toe with Alabama and thinking that they would come out on top, when really they had an excellent 2-point play when they could have gone for the win and ended the game. And it might have cost Mike Bobo his job. I just wondered what your thoughts were about going for two when you got a chance to win or lose at the end of the game. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's all off of what your play is. You think you've got a really good play. You've got a you're the underdog anyway. You've got a hurt quarterback. I sure thought about it when they were doing it. I said, this might be the time. You got Alabama on their heels. They think they got the game won. They go right in and score. Auburn goes right in and scored. I thought that might be the perfect time with an injured quarterback, especially if Bo Nix is playing. I might not have said that.
Here's the truth, though. If the running back stays in bounds in regulation, Auburn is your winner.
Absolutely. That's what – and Lord knows how many times coaches coach that in preseasons and practice during the week on Thursdays. All that kind of stuff has always gone over. But it's a 20-year-old kid that's excited and thinks he can go make the first down on his own. And I just hate to – everybody's saying poor coaching. I promise you, that has been talked about many times with the players.
Tell you the thing I did like and I admired. Nobody gave Auburn any chance going into that game. They were a 21-point underdog. Auburn played that game like it meant something. It was a rivalry. They were prepared to empty every last barrel on earth to win it.
Well, and give Coach Mason some credit. He around Nashville, we need to do that on the air here, because I thought that was a great game plan. He brought 5 people most of the game. Alabama couldn't handle it. I thought he had a great game plan, and they won the game. If they won it, they were going to win it on defense.
They came really close.
They did.
Wow. I would have hated to have been in that locker room afterwards, because God, that would have been one of the toughest locker rooms you would ever see. As far as emotion.
You nailed it, George. That is the worst defeats. It's killer. It's a killer in your for your team.
Bob and Antioch, hang with me. You will essentially be the final countdown when we come back on the Plaster Radio Network.
There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets and exclusive always-on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events to let you get more action out of game day. And if you win, they even get you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code WNSR so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code WNSR.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Chenoweth. When our servicemen and women return from war, they often carry wounds that the rest of us cannot see. Up to 1 in 5 veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And often, even the best treatment, including medication and therapy, they fall short. Sadly, more than 6,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Thanks to the life-saving power of the human-animal bond, professionally trained service dogs can help. But connecting a veteran with a well-trained service dog can be difficult. Waitlists are long and training can cost tens of thousands of dollars. But service dogs can bring healing. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program, which provides dogs to veterans for free of charge. Let's help our veterans heal from the invisible wounds of war.
When it comes to baseball and softball equipment, nobody beats Hit After Hit. They have uniforms to batting cages to private lessons, all the way down to field maintenance equipment. With over 800 styles of gloves and over 1,500 wood and aluminum bats, they're located at 705 Air Park Center Drive. Phone number 615-399-2287 or go online to hitafterhitonline.com.
You have a vision. We have the financing to make it happen. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we have the resources that individuals, families, and businesses need to grow and achieve their goals. As an independent local community bank, we're able to provide loans with great rates, fast decision-making, and personal service from one of our local, friendly lenders. We believe in the power of possibility. It's why we say yes more often. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
A lot of good college basketball games on tonight through ESPN. About 6 or 7 really good ones. So check them out if you're home and watching stuff. I didn't say that very well, but whatever. Bob in Antioch, you are the final countdown. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you. In my opinion, Roy Skinner has never gotten the credit that I think he deserves for helping grow the sport of basketball in the SEC. I've always been really mystified and a little bit annoyed by the fact that Ray Mears seems to get more credit for doing that than Skinner. And I would, this is, I guess, a content request. I would enjoy it, and I think a lot of your listeners would too, if maybe one time when you had Coach Bargatze on the air that you guys talk in depth about Skinner and his contributions.
That's a great idea. Bob, I'll tell you something. For a long time, the downtown Kiwanis Club that I belonged to was the only place that had ever acknowledged through an award his greatness. And that was because Bob Dudley Smith, who played for Roy Skinner, is a member of that club, and he pushed it through. He felt exactly the same way you did.
Well, if you remember, when, for instance, when Pete Maravich was with LSU, Skinner let Maravich score because he knew that fans came to the game to see Maravich score, whereas Mears would try to throw all of these elaborate zone defenses around Maravich. And, yeah, I just think that's an indication of how Skinner realized what the fans wanted. But anyway, that's a content request.
Oh, it's a great one. Watson, you knew him a little bit. Give me a good Roy Skinner story.
George, I don't know stories, but I'll just tell you about the man. He was just a fantastic guy. And that's the first time I ever met Coach B, really, was when I got there. And I just loved him. I idolized him. That's all I can say. I mean, he was very calm guy. You wouldn't think that's a major basketball coach when you would just sit and talk to him. That's kind of the way he was, in my opinion. And I just idolized him myself.
I'm trying to think of the right thing to say here. He was incredibly underrated for what he got done. He made a living recruiting Kentucky up in that state and getting great shooters. And when C.M. Newton came to Vandy, he tried to copy that same philosophy. And obviously, when he got Will Perdue, it got a lot better. But up in Kentucky, they got some shooters.
George, quick, Memorial Magic, Roy Skinner. That's the man that started Memorial Magic right there.
You got that right.
Absolutely.
Watson, we'll do it again tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
Terry?
Yep.
Try to behave until then.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, don't sign Freddie Freeman.
Well, we might have to do that.
If you do that, there will be war on this show. All of you, join us tomorrow, same time, same place.